So we are in a sermon series on godly relationships. And just a refresher, our goal is for every connection, every relationship to honor God, to live out Jesus' new command to love one another as I have loved you. And last week, we explored the transformative power of forgiveness, which is a crucial step in experiencing God's grace and breaking free from the prison of unforgiveness. And I just want to encourage those of you who are still in this process of laying down your unforgiveness to the Lord, I want to encourage you to press on. This is not a one-week thing. This is going to take some time. And my hope that as you do this, you'll experience greater freedom in the Spirit. Today, we're going to be shifting our focus to the power of encouragement in our relationships. Let's take a moment to reflect on our life. No need to raise your hands, but how many of us have faced challenges this past week? How many of you have faced discouragement? Whether it was a stressful day at work or a disagreement with a loved one, life can feel like a constant struggle. We often crave support and reminders that we're not alone. But here's the question: how often do we pass along encouragement to others? It's easy to get wrapped up in our own worries and forget that everyone else is fighting their own battles. And so while we may share advice or recount our own experiences and try to empathize with others, how often do we genuinely uplift those we care about? Encouragement might seem less significant than love or forgiveness, but it is just as vital because we all face discouragement. Days when we feel unseen or question our impact. Some of us carry unseen burdens or grapple with doubt about God's work in our lives. But God in his wisdom offers us a remedy, encouragement. It flows from his word, through the Spirit, and within our relationships. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3-4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you are the Father of mercies and you are the God of all comfort. And I thank you, Lord, that for those who believe, who have received your comfort, Lord, that we can have the power to comfort others and to encourage one another. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict us, Lord, of our need to grow in this area of encouragement. And I also pray for those who are in need of encouragement this morning, that they would receive it even as they hear this message. We thank you and pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. In most of Paul's letters to the churches, he starts off with a thanksgiving section, thanking the Lord for that church and the believers in it. And as you read through Paul's epistles, it's impossible to not notice it. So much so that you'll notice when he doesn't write a thanksgiving section. Paul doesn't have a prominent thanksgiving section in 2 Corinthians, and it's not because he's not thankful for the church in Corinth. Instead, he jumps right into talking about comfort. 5 times, comfort is mentioned. Paul is mentioning this word comfort 5 times, and he's trying to get them to understand the kind of comfort that God offers to us. The Greek word for comfort is paraklesis. This is a little nerdy, but I hope it's helpful. Para means beside, alongside, or near, while klesis means call or invitation. And so paraklesis, when combined, signifies to call alongside, to come near to someone, to come alongside another person. This is the image we get when we talk about comfort or encouragement. Someone who comes alongside the brokenhearted, the weary, the distraught, and discouraged. And Paul wants to remind the believers in Corinth and us today that above all people, God came near to us. He walked alongside us. He says that God is the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, and he comforted us in all our affliction. What affliction? The affliction of sin and death and brokenness in this world. And Christ took on all the affliction that we deserved upon the cross so that we might be comforted. And this wasn't just one of those like, oh, everything's going to be okay, don't worry about it, kind of comfort. No, this is an everlasting comfort. One where God says definitively, it is finished. I have won the battle. Come to me. Receive life in me, and I will give you rest. And if we have received this comfort in Christ, then we are to comfort those who are in any affliction. How do we do that? By our own power? By our own strength? By our own comfort? No, by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What an incredible truth. God himself is the God of all comfort. He is the one who meets us in our discouragement. He is the one who strengthens us when we are weak. He is the one who lifts our heads when we are weary. And as we receive his comfort, he calls us to extend that same encouragement to others. This is why encouragement is so powerful. It isn't just about making someone feel better in the moment. It is about pointing them to the unshakable, never-failing comfort of God. It is about helping each other see and remember the grace of Christ, especially when the burdens of life try to cloud our vision. But here's a challenge. While we all need encouragement, it's not always easy to give encouragement. Just think about your family or your closest friends or your small group members. When's the last time you genuinely encouraged them? Encouragement doesn't come naturally to some of us. What is holding us back? What is making encouragement so difficult at times? Well, I think encouraging others is often hard to do because maybe encouragement wasn't something you received often growing up. There's a story I came across about a pastor in Houston named Dwayne. Dwayne said he had a tough time in the Brooks family. His dad was working a couple of jobs trying to make money to support his family of four sons. And when Dwayne was in the fourth grade, he told his father that he wants to play baseball. And his father barked, "No, you don't want to play baseball." Dwayne says, "Yes, I do. I'd really like to sign up for a baseball team." His father retorted, "No, you don't. You do not want to play baseball." "Now, Dad, I really do. I want to play baseball." And his dad said abruptly, "Okay, fine." He took Dwayne out to the field. Dwayne stepped into the batter's box, and his dad threw the ball as hard as he could at Dwayne's chest. Dwayne dodged the ball, and his father looked at him and said, "I told you, you're not a baseball player." And his father turned and walked away, leaving his son, Dwayne, standing alone in the field. And on that occasion, Dwayne's father discouraged the dreams and the hopes of his son. Maybe you grew up with discouragement like Dwayne did. Maybe you lived in an environment where achievements were expected, not celebrated. Perhaps you can remember a moment as a child when you excitedly shared some good news, maybe a test score, an award, or something you're proud of, only to be met with a response that left you feeling deflated. Instead of hearing, "I'm so proud of you," maybe you heard, "Well, what did the other kids get?" Or, "Next time, do better." For some of us, the lack of encouragement wasn't so obvious, but it was still present. You might not have experienced direct criticism, but neither did you hear words that built you up, words that strengthened you or reminded you of your value. And as I think about the culture we live in a culture of gossip, trolling, cyberbullying, and teasing. We've grown up accustomed to putting others down at the expense of lifting ourselves up. Whether we realize it or not, the way we have grown up with encouragement, or the lack of it, shapes the way we encourage others. Another reason encouragement can be difficult is that it's often easier to focus on the negative than on the positive. Our natural tendency is to see what's wrong rather than what's right. In the 9 a.m. service, the second bullet point was bigger than the first bullet point, and it was so timely. I noticed what was wrong with the slide, and so I fixed it for the 11 a.m. service. You're welcome. We are quick to notice flaws, to dwell on hardships, to highlight struggles, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. Sometimes this happens unintentionally. We don't mean to be discouraging, but we struggle to see and speak about the grace of God in each other's lives. And let's be real, sometimes encouragement just feels awkward. Have you ever been in a situation where you want to encourage someone, but you don't really know what to say? Maybe it feels like your words weren't deep enough, or you're worried about how they might react, or if it wouldn't really matter to them. Or maybe you've experienced the awkwardness of receiving encouragement. Someone shares something kind, really thoughtful to you directly, and you don't know how to respond. Which, by the way, when someone says something nice to you, kind to encourage you, you can just say thank you. You don't need to do anything else. I remember when I was preparing for a missions trip to Haiti in 2011, part of our preparation involved encouraging one another as a team. This was our team building exercise. And I'll be honest, this was one of the most awkward moments in my life. We stood in a circle, and even as I say that, it sounds very cult-like. We stood in a circle, one person was in the middle of the circle, and one by one, the people in the circle would look in the eyes of the person in the circle and would say a word of encouragement, telling them how we saw God working in their life or how we were encouraged by them. And it was so awkward. Every time we say, thank you. It wasn't something I was used to doing, and yet, as we kept doing it, it was a team of like 7 or 8 people, I saw firsthand how powerful those words were. Encouragement isn't just this nice extra in our relationships. It's a vital way we can honor God and build others up. Let me share one more reason. Encouraging others can be hard because I believe oftentimes we have a wrong understanding of what biblical encouragement is. What is biblical encouragement? Well, it's more than just making someone feel good. It's not simply about giving compliments, although kind words certainly matter. There's nothing wrong with telling someone they have a nice haircut, or praising someone's cooking, or telling the parents in our church how cute their kids are. Praise the Lord for the adorable kids in our church. Amen? Man, you guys haven't seen our kids yet. But they are, I think, one of the cutest kids in all of Boston. Amen. But biblical encouragement goes deeper. Biblical encouragement is the stirring up of strength in another person's soul so that they can keep following Jesus. Biblical encouragement is the stirring up of strength in another person's soul so that they can keep following Jesus. One pastor put it this way, encouragement is giving grace with your words. It's recognizing the grace and comfort that God has given you and then extending that same grace and comfort to others through what you say. It's about pointing people back to the faithfulness of God so that they don't lose heart. But it's true, isn't it, that we often struggle to encourage others because we ourselves forget the grace of God in our own lives. In 2020, college students were asked to go back home in the middle of this spring semester. How many of you were in that situation? You had to go back home in the middle of the spring semester. Oh, not as many as I thought. I'm sorry that happened to you. It was a scary time. It was a discouraging time. Students were experiencing greater levels of loneliness, and there was a fear of what might happen to them if they can't intern that summer. Graduating seniors were struggling to find a job, and some received job offers, and then they were rescinded. And as the college pastor, I wanted to reach out to as many college students as possible to offer encouragement. So in the summer of 2020, I made, I think, over 100 phone calls, checking in on people, trying to offer encouragement. And at first, I was intentional about extending grace. I wanted to listen well, to remind my brothers and sisters of God's faithfulness, to strengthen them in their struggles. But as the weeks went on, I started to get frustrated. I've heard too many responses saying, COVID's so hard, COVID's so hard. And after you hear it so often, it's like, I get it, it's hard, let's move on. And I started getting impatient. I started getting frustrated. I started losing sight of why I was doing it. By the 50th call or so, I was drained. Instead of responding with compassion, I became impatient. Instead of being a source of grace, I became more focused on efficiency. I was more militant than merciful. I was more task-driven than spirit-led. And in the process, I failed to encourage those who needed it most. And I want to take this moment to apologize to those who didn't feel encouraged. If you're here or if you're listening over the live stream, I'm sorry for not being there for you, and I hope that you can forgive me. At the same time, I find comfort in knowing that the fact that you are here listening today is a sign that the God of all comfort has kept you in his arms, despite my lack of comfort. Encouragement is meant to lift someone's heart toward the Lord, not push them further from him. It helps people see that God is working in their lives, that their struggles are not in vain, and that he is in control. The goal of encouragement is faithfulness, strengthening one another in faith and helping one another continue to walk with Jesus, even when the road is difficult. As we read through Scripture, the New Testament is filled with commands to encourage and to exhort, and nearly every time it is tied to stirring up faithfulness. And I want to share three with you. Acts 11:23, when Barnabas, who is known as the son of encouragement, when Barnabas came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, Paul writes, "We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Hebrews 3:13 to 14, "But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold all our original confidence firm to the end." Encouragement is not optional. It is a vital part of our calling as believers. We need it to remain faithful to God. We need it to do his will. We need it to persevere as we await for the return of our King. In fact, the essence of the gospel itself is encouragement. It is the good news that Christ has come, that he has overcome sin and death, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That is good news. That is comfort. That is encouragement. Now, when are we to encourage one another? There's never a bad time to encourage another person, but there are certainly times when it is especially needed, and I want to share four with you. First, we need encouragement in times of trouble, anxiety, or fear. Are any of you here in a season of trouble, anxiety, or fear? Well, you are in good company. I want to encourage you to know that you're not alone in this. All of us have experienced this at one point or another, and we can find encouragement in knowing that Jesus has good news for us. Jesus warned his disciples in John 16:33, "In this world, you will have trouble." And many of us stop here. We see the brokenness of this world, the chaos, the suffering, and we begin to despair. But Jesus didn't stop at trouble. He continued, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." We need people to remind us of this second part. Not just tell us that the world will have trouble, but you can take heart. I have overcome. We're also told in 1 Peter 5:7 that you can cast all your anxieties onto the Lord. And then he gives a reason why. Because God cares for you. And countless times throughout Scripture, the Lord tells his people, do not be afraid, for I, the Lord, your God, am with you. We also need encouragement in times of discouragement. Discouragement can come from many sources, not just from feeling bad about ourselves, but from losing sight of Christ and losing sight of God's presence in our lives. But Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There have been many times when I felt discouraged in ministry. I honestly don't think that I would still be in ministry if it weren't for the encouragement of brothers and sisters in Christ, that God is with me, that God is still growing me, that he is working in me. And because of that, even in the midst of discouragement, I can have great strength and courage in Christ. And I can share specific examples, but there are too many to share. So you know who you are. Thank you for your encouragement. Third, encouragement is needed in times of grief and mourning because loss has a way of making us feel isolated, overwhelmed, and even distant from God. When someone is grieving, you don't just give quick answers or cliches. They need your presence. They need your compassion and reminders of God's nearness. Encouragement in grief isn't about fixing the pain, but about walking with one another through it, pointing to the hope we have in Christ. I think about when Mary was weeping over the loss of her brother Lazarus. And what did Jesus do? He wept. He wept with her. Paul writes in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Sometimes encouragement looks like just sitting with the person in their sorrow, reminding them that they're not alone, that God sees their pain and that his love has not abandoned them. In moments of deep loss, words of encouragement can gently lift a grieving heart, not by dismissing their pain, but by affirming God's everlasting presence and goodness, even in suffering. And lastly, we need encouragement in times of forgetfulness. We are easily forgetful. Tell your neighbor, you are easily forgetful. We have the brain of a goldfish. We are easily forgetful of God's greatness and goodness. We need encouragement from brothers and sisters to remind us of who God is, to remind us of his promises, of his faithfulness, of how he will always be with us, of how he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he is patient and kind and gentle, that he is just and forever righteous. He is who he says he is. This is why we gather. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Gather together. Don't neglect to do it, and encourage one another until the day draws near. Are you in a season of trouble, discouragement, grief, or forgetfulness? Do you know someone who might be in one of these seasons and is in need of your encouragement? Know this, a word of encouragement spoken in grace, truth, and love has the power to lift someone's heart, point them to Jesus, and help them to remain steadfast to him. Now, how do we actually do this? How can we be people who consistently build one another up and honor God in our relationships through encouragement? Well, I want to share 5 simple steps, and I'll do this very quickly. First, spend time with God in his word. The best encouragement comes from not just our own opinions or well-meaning words, but from God's truth. If we want to speak life into others, we need to first be filled with the word of life. How can we expect to encourage someone with the truth of God's word if we don't know God's word ourselves? How can we expect to hear from the Holy Spirit in the midst of a conversation if we aren't creating space in our lives to listen to him? This means being intentional about spending time with the Lord, reading the word, praying, and meditating on his promises. Pastor Sam, one of our AMI pastors, he does this activity where he has a sheet of a list of like 50 to 75 promises in scripture. And he says, circle every promise that you have a hard time believing in. And you see people circling so many promises. I have a hard time believing in this, this, this. And then he says, take it home and memorize it. It's his way of tricking us into memorizing scripture. But I feel like it's a testament that we are so forgetful and we have a hard time holding fast to his promises. And you need to do this before you go into the season of discouragement. Know it now so that in times of discouragement, you can preach the truth of God's word to yourself. You can speak words of encouragement to others. What this also means is that we don't let social media, self-help quotes, or worldly wisdom be our primary source of encouragement. Even if something sounds good, we should be like the Bereans in Acts 17:11. How many of you have heard the Bereans before? We got like a handful of folks. It's okay. They're mentioned in one verse in scripture. And they're praised for examining the scriptures to test everything that they've been hearing and learning with the word of God. We need to be like the Bereans. And as we spend time with him, his word reminds us of how God has lavished his grace upon us, how he has comforted and encouraged us in Christ. And that will be the very fuel by which we speak words that give life and encouragement to others. Second, get a gauge on how the person is doing. Encouragement is most meaningful when it meets someone where they are. That's why we need to listen and discern how a person is doing mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Is this person weary and in need of strength? Are they struggling in faith and need a reminder of God's promises? Are they burdened with guilt and need to be reminded of God's grace? Take time to truly listen. Don't just give advice. Listen and help encourage them with the word of God. Encourage them with words of life. Third, consider your relationship with the person. How we encourage someone often depends on our relationship with them. And so if it's someone new to the community, encouragement might first look like affirming their presence, expressing care, and making them feel seen and welcomed. But if it's someone you've walked closely with for years, your words can be more direct, even challenging when needed. You know that that person is speaking out of a place of deep care and love for you. And even if the words pierce your heart, you know that it's for your good. Every relationship is different, but encouragement should always be rooted in love. Fourth, ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and courage. I think this is actually the hardest step. This is something that will take time and practice. Listening to the Holy Spirit in the midst of conversation and then yielding to the guidance of the Holy Spirit is something that will take time and practice. Encouragement is not just a natural skill. It is a spiritual practice. Even if you have the gift of encouragement, you have to put it into practice. We need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in how we can encourage others, even in the midst of those conversations. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, he might put a specific Bible verse, an image, or a word on your heart for someone. Other times he may simply nudge you to send a text, make a call, or offer a kind word at just the right moment. But let's be honest, sometimes we hesitate. We doubt if we're really feeling something from the Lord, if this is really the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's why we need faith and courage to step out in faith and follow the Spirit's prompting, trusting that God is using us to build up his people. And fifth, encourage people to turn to the God of encouragement. Let's do a quick poll. Who here believes they are a perfect encourager? You never fail to encourage another person. Raise your hand. Case in point. I think I'm an okay encourager, but many times I fail. I have a tendency to go into problem-solving mode rather than actually comforting and encouraging the other person. I'm learning to be a better encourager, but I find comfort in knowing that God will never fail. Wouldn't you want to go to the one who will never fail to encourage you? If you want to be really encouraged, don't resort only to others. Even your spouse or your family members or your closest friends, don't make them your ultimate source of encouragement. They will fail you at one point or another, but God never will. Go to the God of encouragement. Go to the God of comfort. Once again, encouragement is about pointing one another back to God. If someone is struggling, we don't just say, "You got this." Instead, we remind them, "Hey, you're not alone. God is with you, and he won't let you go." If someone is in need, we don't just say, "I hope things get better." Instead, we reassure them and say, "God sees you. He cares about you, and he is the provider. He is the provider. He will provide in many ways, perhaps even ways that you may not even expect." If someone is hurting physically or emotionally, we don't just say, "Stay strong." Instead, we can pray for them, encouraging them that God, our healer, is close to the brokenhearted, that he sees your pain, that he's holding you close in his love. If you really want someone to be comforted, then encourage them to go to the God of all comfort. Encouragement is powerful when it lifts our eyes off of our circumstances and onto Jesus, the ultimate source of our strength and hope. Now, encouragement isn't just for fellow believers. It's also an opportunity to reflect Christ's love to those who don't know him yet. Sometimes this happens directly. Sometimes God opens a door. Someone asks you, "How do you have so much peace in a world of anxiety? How do you have so much joy?" And it just opens a door for you to share the gospel and encourage them that God is our peace, that he is peace, he is love, he is joy. When I was, before ministry, when I was quitting my corporate job, my exit interviewer asked me, "I've never seen anyone just feel like so joyful to leave the company." I was like, "I have no like qualm with the company." And it was just like an open door for me to share about the joy of the Lord. And God will give you those open doors as well. Other times it happens indirectly when they experience God's love through our kindness, compassion, and words of life. Once again, Jesus said in John 13, 34 to 35, "Love one another as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples." Encouragement is one of the ways we point people to the Father of mercies. We can point non-believers to the God of all comfort and say, "You want comfort? I know someone who can give you the greatest comfort. You want encouragement? I want to point you to someone who is encouragement." We can point people with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God. We live in a world that is full of discouragement, but we are called to be different. Speak words that give life. Be present in people's lives. Point people to the God of comfort and pray for and with others. Imagine if you became known as someone who builds others up. You're known to be a Barnabas in your community who gives strength to the weary soul. Imagine how your friendships, your family, and your relationships could be transformed if encouragement became a regular habit. Parents encouraging their children, children encouraging their parents, small group members encouraging one another. And so here's my challenge. Start today. encourage someone before you leave. And I know this is going to be awkward, and you're going to be tempted to just get up and leave Paradise Rock Club. But I want to challenge you. Encourage someone near you, someone you know, or perhaps someone you met for the first time today. Send a text that builds someone up. Pray with someone who needs it. In the 9 a.m. service, I had a moment where I was just filled with gratitude. I was thinking about many of the brothers and sisters at Symphony Church that I've known for many years, some who I've known for 11 years, and we're still here worshiping our God. God has held us. He has held us in his hands. And I want to encourage you, I don't know everyone's story here, but the fact that you're here today is encouraging to me. It's encouraging because you chose to come. It's encouraging because there's a part of you that wants to put your trust in Jesus. There's a sign that you want to trust the Lord and that you do trust the Lord and that he's been transforming you. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for only a few weeks. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for many, many years. Praise the Lord that he has given you faith. Praise the Lord that he is encouraging you through the Spirit of God, and he is growing you to become more and more like Christ. On top of this challenge today, sometime this week, in your family group or your microchurch, I want to encourage you to share a word of encouragement to three people in person. Look them straight in the eye, try not to make it awkward, and just encourage them in such a way that it stirs up faithfulness. It stirs up perseverance in the faith. And if we want any encouragement to grow in Symphony Church, we need to pray. Let's pray for more people to receive the gift of encouragement. We have some in our church who have the spiritual gift of encouragement. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for more. But on top of that, let's ask God to fill all of us with the spirit of encouragement, not a spirit of grumbling and complaining and gossiping and teasing, but a spirit of encouragement, that our words would carry grace, truth, and life. Let's pray for our family groups and our microchurches, that every member in our small groups would feel unseen, not forgotten, or would feel seen. Yes, would feel seen and not forgotten. Amen? Amen. That they would be strengthened in love. And let's pray that Symphony Church would be a place filled with words of encouragement, words that remind people of God's presence, stir up faithfulness to Jesus, and point others to the God of all comfort. Let's pray.